Our community connection on the way next, brought to you this morning by Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center and by Tallgrass Motors. We'll talk Congress coming up in just a moment.
If you're suffering from a bad back, bad knees, need a hip replacement, call the Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center, 918-494-9300. With a large number of only the best qualified specialists on staff, EOC is able to provide better care than anyone else in Eastern Oklahoma. I should know. I had my back surgery in 2012 with a degenerative disc between L4 and L5. Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center took me through a step-by-step process and which now, after surgery, I am leading a normal life. Get back to your normal life. Whether you're in need of back surgery, hip replacement, knee surgery, or knee replacement, trust your happiness to Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center. Ask your doctor about EOC or call for a consultation. 918-494-9300. Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center. We're located in the Natalie Building at 6475 South Yale in Tulsa.
And joining us this morning, candidate for the 1st Congressional District, Andy Coleman. Good morning. Thank you for coming in again.
Good morning, Charlie.
32 days, right?
32 days and counting.
That's right. So, again, your message, my message, my message is please go vote. You probably would say please go vote for Andy Coleman.
That's right. I'd be very honored to earn those votes out there.
And that's what you have been trying to do, earn those votes. It's an open seat. Congressman Bridenstine moving on to the new job with NASA, something that a year and a half ago you and I were talking about. And at that time, we thought it would be a special election, but...
Yeah, we've had to stay flexible on this campaign, but it's gone well, and I appreciate you doing what you can do to inform the voters out there and let them make good choices on their own and hear from the candidates, hear our views, hear our backgrounds, and go out and vote. But yeah, we're in the final sprints. We're going to blink, and June 26th is going to be here. I hope that the people up here in Bartlesville have had a good chance to hear from us over the times that we've spent here. If anybody has any questions, I hope that they reach out to our office or they can go online to andycoleman.org. Coleman spelled like the camping gear or the cooler or the lantern, whatever helps that name stick. But we'd love to hear from them, and we'd love to get any questions answered.
It probably wouldn't be a proper question, but do you like that shade of green? No, never mind. again, running for first congressional seat, and some of the things, just looking at current events, Kim Jong-un and Korea, having the military training, military intelligence, having looked at that area of the world as part of your former job, that has been a country that has threatened war. Well, really, since it was divided back in the 50s.
Yeah, that's right. And we've seen a lot of developments on that front from President Trump, and I was excited to see that. It's a little discouraging to see that the meeting is, at least right now, not going to take place. But I wouldn't write it off. I think it could still very well happen. President Trump does a good job of bargaining and drawing a line, and I think that's what's going on here, too. So I'm still holding out hope that there is going to be a meeting. But I think that there was just a sense that there was some shenanigans going on and we weren't going to be playing those games. But yeah, as a former intelligence officer, North Korea is a very serious situation for the globe, not just for America, but for the region, for our allies in Asia. And it would be just such a feather in President Trump's hat if he could really nail this down. And he's really accomplished a lot, getting American hostages back, really ending that conflict in many respects. But we're, as a realist as well, I take the world as it is, not as I want it to be. I know it's challenging not to untie, but boy, would this be something if we could really nail it down.
Well, it would be, that for sure. And Senator Lankford commenting after the announcement was made on the at least right now, cancellation of that meeting. You know, he commented, and I'm paraphrasing because I don't have the verbiage in front of me. You know, yes, we want to meet, but let's make sure it's a meeting of substance, something
That's
other
right.
than just, you know, shake hands and talk about dinner plans.
Yeah, and I think that that's a good signal to send. And I do hope that that meeting of substance takes place.
Okay, well, we'll move on. And, of course, I'm sure you will keep up to date on that. Mm-hmm. The number of faces in that first district race, Charlie's private political wisdom, there likely will be a runoff. So
yeah.
Whatever happens, the candidates involved, you would say you would hope that would be you, need to keep up on that issue after that 32-day deadline from now.
Yeah, that's right. So we're not planning to be done. I think we're going to be standing in 33 days, and we got to continue to charge the hill. We've got a good team in place. We're seeing very good trends and numbers on our side, and we just got to stay after it. You know, great support. We've got Senator Rick Santorum, former Senator Rick Santorum, came in and endorsed our race. Dr. Everett Piper here in Bartlesville. We've got Congressman Jim Jordan, Mark Meadows, Ken Buck, who literally wrote the book, Drain the Swamp. A lot of principal people have come out to endorse our race. I am grateful for every ounce of support that they've lent me, but this really boils down to Oklahoma citizens, Oklahoma families coming out to vote in that race. So what I would ask is if people like the positions that I take, if this is the type of representation that they want for themselves and their families, then go out and vote. But I would also ask you to take five. Reach out to five friends, five other families, and just make sure that they turn out to vote as well. So it's going to be a busy ballot. There's a lot going on, and we need citizens to turn out and engage.
Yeah, and of course, there is at least one ballot question on the ballot as well, on the medical marijuana question. Mm-hmm. So, you know, consider your opinions on that. I'm just curious, You wouldn't have to say on that one anything other than the fact you're one voter on that question. But from a 10th Amendment, from a federalism point of view, federally, marijuana is still a Schedule I drug. You can't write a prescription for it. You can't have it's in the same class as pure opium flakes, peyote, many other dangerous drugs. The past administration and the current administration have said, well, we're going to look the other way. But do you see sooner or later a state versus federal opinion going down on that one?
Yeah, and I think that tension's already getting very stiff. There's a lot of problems if you look at some of the states and the way that they've approached marijuana and what's going on at the federal government. I certainly would, I think it'd be wise to reconcile, to come to some kind of resolution on that. The reason it's scheduled the way it is just because it's been deemed that it has a very high risk of abuse and a very limited positive benefit. So that's why it's scheduled that way with those other drugs, to be able to reconcile that with the states that are making different decisions within their own borders. I love that you use the word federalism. I'm a federalist at heart. I think that the powers of the federal government are few and defined, and the powers of the state and your local levels are much more broad. And that's where a lot of these decisions properly take place. To make sure that we're reconciling that so we're not breeding kind of a lawless nature of this work, just the rule of law is important. And if we have laws on the books, they should be followed. If they're not being followed, there's second and third order effects that come out of that are not good for our communities and our society. So to be able to make sure that we're playing from one sheet of music, I think would be very important.
And regardless of if the federal government looking the other way, but if the ballot passes in as many places as it is on the measure, either now or in November for states, I think we could have around 40 or 41 states with some form of marijuana legalization. Mm-hmm. To me, it's just going to have to come to a decision somewhere, federal versus state, somewhere along the line.
That's right. And we're just going to have to be wise in how we take those steps.
We're talking with Andy Coleman. He is a candidate for the 1st District Congressional seat. And again, 32 days election. We will continue coming up in just a moment.
Is it time to start thinking about a new car? But the thought of dealing with the large dealerships is just too intimidating, too confusing? There is an easier way. Tallgrass Motors. Tallgrass Motors doesn't play all the confusing games the large dealerships play. Tallgrass Motors has continually been voted Bartlesville's best used car dealer year after year. Go by Tallgrass Motors today and enjoy looking at over 60 used cars, trucks, and SUVs, all priced to save you money. Tallgrass Motors, Highway 75 North in Bartlesville.
Spending time this morning with candidate for the 1st Congressional District, Andy Coleman. And again, we are talking election politics, 32 days to election time. I've seen your signs. I know people are out there vocally supporting you. Mm-hmm. I see Facebook forwards on Facebook posts from your friends and supporters. Just as a matter of policy, if I was friends with anybody that is running for office in a contested race, I wrote them a nice little note and said, sorry, we'll be friends again after the race, but I needed to unfriend you for a while. But, you know, it's just one of those things. I see you have a ground level support.
Yeah, we've had just really great supporters out there at all levels. People that are just busy, you know, knocking on doors, introducing my candidacy to their friends, their neighbors, people throughout their communities. That's exactly what we need. I may not be everybody's cup of tea, but I just hope that we can get out there, get heard, and help people make an informed decision. I just don't want to meet somebody 60 days after the race and have them say, oh, it would have been nice to meet you. But really, our message is resonating. I'm a social conservative. Because I'm a social conservative, I'm also a fiscal conservative. My background is service, coming out of the Air Force Academy, serving in the Middle East as an intelligence officer, both with the Air Force and the Army, you know, serving with conservative policy organizations like the Christian Legal Society, the Federalist Society, the Alliance Defending Freedom, these groups that stand up for the Constitution, the principles of limited government, the free market. I'm not new to the policy block. And the fact that I stood in the gap for persecuted Christians with Voice of the Martyrs, based right here in Bartlesville, you know, working in very difficult countries from Egypt to Pakistan. I have stood up for what I believe in the past. I have backed it up with action, sometimes very risky action. I'm going to continue to do the same thing. But that combination of our conservative views and my background really seems to be resonating with a lot of families. I'm grateful that it does. And we're just going to continue charging the next 32 days.
Yeah, mentioning the fact that you are a fiscal conservative, certainly that talks budget issues. And I think whether you are a fiscal conservative or a fiscal liberal, you're still talking money issues somewhere, and the way the budget is built. What is it, four times since 1974 the Congress has actually passed a budget in regular order? I think it's four. Anyway,
and I think it's zero since the mid-90s.
Yeah, I think you're right. So, you know, one vote in the House or one vote in the Senate is not going to change the process, but coalitions can. Mm-hmm. How would you build a coalition? How would you advocate as a freshman congressman to, you know, work that budget process in the way it was written?
Well, I would certainly entertain these ideas to change the structure of how the budget is passed. If there's reforms that could be done to make sure that we're providing the oversight and stewardship that are needed for these kinds of decisions, rather than just jamming through these omnibus bills, which I think is really an absence of stewardship. It's an absence of oversight. That has to stop. I would be happy to look at those healthy reforms that could be passed to make sure we're doing our job. I also think there's organizations that punch above their weight on budgetary measures, and they're trying to fight the good fight. There's groups out there like the House Freedom Caucus. There's fiscal conservatives all throughout that bench. And because they've operated together and tried to work to accomplish this as a group, as a coalition, they've been able to at least steer things in a healthy direction. To help out with them would be an honor as well. But yeah, we have to be able to work together, and I've worked on a lot of different teams, whether it's military teams or intelligence teams or ministry teams, cross-cultural teams. I have the capacity to work with others, and I also have the capacity to explain why these are urgent issues that need to be addressed right now. We are in a deep, deep, deep hole. We're over $21 trillion in debt. If we were able to balance our budget in 10 years and then run $50 billion a year surpluses every year afterwards, it would still take us 400 years to pay that sucker down. And just reminding people, that money, that's our kids' money. That's our grandkids' money. This is serious. That's a moral failure. It's intergenerational theft. It has to stop. We have to be responsible stewards of what we have. The economy is a big one. It's also a national security vulnerability.
Ronald Reagan made significant progress on a balanced budget amendment, didn't meet the threshold to getting the far out down the road for people to actually vote in the states on it. But is that something that you could, if the measure were to come up again in discussions in the House, advocate for?
100% yes. Absolutely. Some people say that a balanced budget amendment's a pipe dream. It's not. We have come very close to accomplishing it before, and that is a fight that we cannot surrender on. We have to do it. We have to do it. We have to get that in order, or else the wheels really will come off. I'm also in favor of a term limits amendment. My goodness, I think our founders intended for citizen legislators to step out of our communities, to represent our communities, and then come back. I don't believe in the battle of career politicians. I think career politicians are hurting our country. I'm also the only one in my race who is, you know, leading by example on this. And I want to be a citizen legislator. I do not want to be a career politician. And that's why I've told people from the day I announced, if you send me, I will go and fight and bleed and sweat for you, but I'm only going to do it for 4 terms. That way I always know who I'm representing, and it's not my own career. So in addition to being the only military veteran in this race, the only candidate with national security experience in this race, the only candidate with experience in the Muslim world, the Arab world, the Persian world, which is just a background, a skill set I think we need more in those federal seats, I'm also the only one leading by example on term limits.
Base closures, BRAC commissions, Oklahoma, Tinker Air Force Base, the major employer really in the state, but certainly in the Oklahoma City area, Fort Sill, Vance, you run down the list of military installations. I look at San Antonio at one time, I think it was 5 Air Force bases plus Fort Sam. Mm-hmm. The idea that we have come through over the last 20 years of joint bases, Joint Base Andrews, again combining a Air Force and Army situation. How would you come down on BRAC as it looks at both base closures in general, but Oklahoma particularly?
Well, great question, Charlie. And this is another reason why I believe you need military veterans in those seats. You need military veterans to champion our current military veterans, to champion our current military families who are going through a lot, but also to speak up on these issues regarding the basing. And I think that we have to have champions that are going to go up to bat for our bases. I don't know that you're going to find a more pro-military state in the union than Oklahoma. We love our veterans. We love our service members and their families. And we have a lot to offer. We have a whole lot to offer here. So to be able to make sure that we have a solid military footprint here in Oklahoma, because we love them. We love being a part of the national security platform of the United States. And I actually think that there's a whole lot more that we have to offer that we could be a part of here in Oklahoma. So to be able to speak up intelligently and to make sure that we maintain that footprint, that's a task that I look forward to taking on.
Again, taking on tasks, your website lists a list of issues that, I'm sorry, in the 90 seconds or so we've got left, we might get one more comment, but that's about it. So I'd rather advocate for your website that people can find out more about you.
So if people go to andycoleman.org, that's Coleman like the camping gear, C-O-L-E-M-A-N, you're going to find where I land on the issues. And I'll point this out, Charlie. When they go read those position statements, I wrote that myself. I didn't task that out. I didn't hire somebody to write that. That's what came out of, from me. That's where I land. I'm trying to be an open book and as transparent as possible, because that's the kind of representation I want. If it's the kind of representation that you want when you're on that website, andycoleman.org, I would just appreciate, like I said, your votes. But on that site, if you would financially support us, even a $50 gift, a $20 gift could be made safely and securely on that site. It would help us charge across this finish line just 32 days from now. It'd bless us, and I'd be grateful.
You mean you don't have people that donate those signs for you free?
It's not free.
I say that with a smile on my face, but it costs money to run a campaign. Again, so yard signs, that's one visible means of support that people can show their support, and I don't know what the cost is. It matters, but not that much right now. We're talking that you need the dollars to help produce those.
Whether I like it or not, funds are the fuel that campaigns run on. That's how we get our message out, and we've done a very good job with the resources we've had. We've got great supporters that have pitched in. We could always use more, and I'd be grateful for more people up here in Bartlesville to join Team Coleman.
The Supreme Court says dollars equal speech, so that's what we're talking about this morning. Thank you so much for your time. 32 days and counting till Election Day. We've been talking this morning with candidate for the 1st Congressional District seat, Andy Coleman.
Thank you, Charlie.
Thank you very much. News on the way next from the Oklahoma News Network. Our community connection brought to you this morning by Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center and Tallgrass Motors.
ONN News, I'm Shine Carey. A gunman opened fire.